Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I catch you up with the adventurers. The last episode was for Session 47, and this Sunday will be Session 55, so there is a lot to catch up. And I got busy trying to fit everything in, and there just isn't enough time, so between doing yard work on the weekends, updating a PDF for DriveThruRPG, prepping for two conventions, Gamehole Con and UConn, plus playing in a regular weekly game and running a regular weekly game, plus my busy time at work is starting to ramp up, I've been a little bit busy. I thought I'd found a new rhythm to keep up a regular schedule on all the, to more easily keep up with the regular episodes. But I can only process so much before I need a break. So I'm going to hit the high points of the last 7 sessions to bring the story up to date so that there won't be quite so much to catch up on. And I'll endeavor to have a new episode each week, The Antics of the Party. So last episode, they defeated the Anti-Paladin. And so after defeating the Anti-Paladin, the party goes back to Haven, the capital of the Sand Vikings. The Gaul, the Cleric Ranger, casts Speak with Dead and asks why the Horde toppled the obelisk at Cliffcrest, and it's because the obelisks are an abomination to the Blessed Necromancer, he tells them. So the next question, what is the effect of toppling the obelisks? And they are told the Horde fears the obelisks, but one who can topple them has their undying loyalty. And the druid decides to cast Detect Magic on the obelisk in Haven and looks up and sees a faint line going in the direction that will pass Cliffcrest, and they surmise that there must be an obelisk in the Necropolis, the ancient city of the Necromancer. So they take the magic items from the Anti-Paladin Old Gorm, and he gladly identifies him, except he wants nothing to do with the armor. So they take the armor to the temple, and it is unwholesome. And they put it in a large silver vessel and fill it with holy water to cover over this armor, and they guard it with holy wards to mask it from the son of the necromancer and preventing it from influencing others. So then the party discusses for the next session to either go to Cliffcrest and see what's going on there, or just head to the Necropolis. So the next session, Gaul casts Divination, and Sandport to the south of Haven seems to be okay, so they decide to head northwest to Sandvale and check the obelisk there, because now they're all worried about the obelisks and what happens if they all are knocked down. And they find the settlement and its obelisk is okay. And then for some reason they decide, look, we got to go to Fire Mountain, because they think its eruptions that it's been having and the spewing of smoke is more than just a coincidence. And because they've heard there's giants there, maybe we can recruit giants as allies. So they come to an oasis and they stay there overnight. And they decide to patrol around the oasis to make sure there's nothing out there lurking. And they come across a 30-foot-long snake-like lizard thing with 4 legs and they kill it. And the next day, the sand ships go as far as the sand allows, and then they have to ride. They have either quals or camels. They ride for the rest of the day and then make camp. The gnome thief illusionist Dinkus has the first watch, and pretty soon he's yelling to get the others up because they're being attacked by 7 trolls, and they manage to beat the trolls, and the wizard Chesty cast Charm Monster on one of the trolls and has a new minion. So next session, they use tongues to talk to the troll, and they learn that its name is Grax Finger, and that he and his companions were driven from their cave by rolling fire, that is, lava. Some were killed and others injured, and Grax Finger lost his loot, which is why they didn't find any on him when they searched the bodies. So then they decide to have Grax Finger take them to the other side of the Fire Mountain, hoping to meet giants to form an alliance. And so one of the wizards has an owl familiar, and that familiar, along with the druid, flew around the camp looking for signs of trouble. They found the glow of a volcanic vent, and Gaul the cleric ranger investigates, and this must be the lair of the trolls, but it is not traversable without a way to protect from the heat of the lava. And for some reason, they decide that because the lava's flowing through this lava tube more or less in the general direction of the Sand Vikings, that it's significant. So they set up camp for the night, and then they get attacked by a wyvern. And the wyvern grabbed the qual that Dinkus was on. Now, Dinkus had tied himself to the qual so he wouldn't fall off in his sleep. So because he's tied, he can't just jump off. Well, the troll attacked the wyvern and it missed, and the wyvern managed to get the troll with its stinger, and the troll failed its save versus poison. And I rule that even though that will not be permanently fatal, that it will be enough for it to fall down for a couple rounds till its system recovers from the poison. Then one of the wizards enlarged the qual to make it harder for the wyvern to carry it off, along with Dinkus. But because Dinkus had his wrists tied, this pulled him tight against the qual so he couldn't use his hands. But the party managed to do enough damage to the wyvern so that it couldn't fly, and so they quickly dispatched it. The next day, Canis the Druid turned into a bird and flied over the lip of the volcano, and far below, he saw what looked like humans rolling boulders away from the inside edge of the volcano, and the boulders would roll under the lava, and there were several smaller figures that were kind of like the upper bodies men and the lower bodies like snakes, but it was kind of hard to make out. But he did notice that there was a trail up to the other side of the caldera that led down to a cave. So he goes back and he gets Dinkus the Gnome Thief Illusionist and Stohegan the Wizard, and they fly to the other side of the caldera invisibly, and then they go down to the cave. And inside the cave, there's two adult female fire giants and two teenage fire giants. And Dinkus is impulsive, and he cast color spray and managed to stun one of the adult giants. Stohegan the Wizard cast Ice Storm and dropped one of the giants and hurts the other three. Two of the injured ones charge Dinkus, but Canis the Druid jumps in and sets for a charge. He's got a magic spear, and both Dinkus and Canis are hit very hard, but Canis' spear dropped one of the giants. Stohegan then cast Lightning Bolt and dropped the other two giants because the size of the cave, the lightning bounced off the back wall of the cave. It also shattered this giant chest full of loot, and it slagged a suit of magical splint mail, a magic shield, and a scroll. So only the coins, gems, jewelry, and a potion managed to survive. So they hit some of the loot and go back to camp, and then Dinkus and the other wizard Chesty fly back, and they get the loot, and they get away just as the other fire giants show up, and the fire giants throw rocks but miss. So they decide to break camp and begin to put as much distance as they can between them and the giants. So they wanted allies, but they started a fight. So the next session, they finally managed to get back to the oasis, where they agreed to meet the Sand Vikings, but the sand ships aren't there. They encounter a harpy and easily dispatch it. And so Chesty, the wizard, casts a fly spell, and he goes up and he sees the ships in the distance. And it looks like the crew is just milling about. He flies off to get them and notices two harpies sitting on the deck munching on dead crewmen. So he goes invisible and gets behind them and casts slow. He wins initiative because of the slow and casts continual light into the eyes of one. They both sing, but he manages to resist their song. He then charms the other one, and then Grok's finger goes looking for Chesty, and he finished off the harpies, and they take the ship back to get the rest of the party, and they go seeking the harpy lair. They find the harpy lair, but there's more harpies there, and the ranger Gaul, and or the cleric ranger Gaul, and the druid Canis, along with most of the crew of the party's ship, the Sand Witch, are charmed, but they manage to save everybody from a bad fate and slay, well, they actually capture the harpies. So finally, after getting what bit of treasure they can from the harpy nest, they're finally back heading towards the necropolis, and they manage to travel a whole day without incident. But the next day, they see a rock outcropping. And every time they see a rock outcropping, they have to go check it out. So they divert to investigate, and they encounter Alamia, who, before they know it is Alamia, has cast an illusion of two trolls behind them, which they all believe, and the two toughest fighters are busy fighting. The Alamia cast mirror image to make it look like there's more of them, and manages to charm the druid who defends her from Grok's finger. And they dispatch the mirror images and manage to keep Grok's finger from eating the druid. But Grok's finger manages to kill the Alamia and devours her, which ends the illusion of the trolls. And then they rest for the night. Gaul the cleric ranger, Stoegen the wizard, and Canis the druid the next day do a patrol before they head out, and they run into a large group of undead led by a mummy on a mummified qual. And there were a half dozen ghasts on skeletal quals, and one of them managed to capture Canis the druid and grab the reins of his qual and let him off. And Gaul is hoping to create a large following of undead, but his turning either turns the creatures to dust or they are turned. And that's unusual, because normally he's able to get them to his side and he has undead minions, and he can't figure it out. So they manage to rescue Canis and defeat most of the ghasts and their skeletal quals, but then they see a mummy leading a group of ghouls, and they did send somebody back to get help. He brings the rest of the party. And Chesty the wizard has a brazier commanding fire elementals. He fires that up and sends the fire elemental after the mummy. Well, the mummy beats feet because fire is one of its weaknesses. And when he sees the mummy just run, he tells it, well, go take care of the ghouls. Well, when the mummy sees he's not being chased anymore, he comes back. And the fright factor of the mummy causes some of the people to stand still in fear. And the mummy tries to hit somebody and can't hit anybody. The mummified qual tries to hit somebody, can't hit anybody. The party slays the mummy and the mummified qual, so it was not quite the devastating effect I had hoped. And the fire elemental takes care of most of the ghouls. There's a bunch of zombies who are very slow leading up the rear, and they manage to take care of those with turning and combat. And back at the ships, a bunch of skeletons attack the sand splitter and killed several crew, but the crew managed to defeat the skeletons. So Chesty noticed that the mummy had a medallion with the symbol of the necromancer on it, and older members of the party encountered similar medallions when they fought guards and undead on the mountaintop temple of the necromancer a couple of months ago when they stepped through a portal. And they argue that they have to destroy this because it seems to allow the dead to rise up, as well as the followers of the necromancer that have it to command those undead. Well, Chesty ignores all that. He takes the medallion and one arm of the mummy and puts it in his portable hole. So the next session, they bury the fallen sand Vikings in the ruins of the Lamia's lair, and they collapse the walls on them so they can't rise up. And overnight, Gaul had fitful dreams where a chimera, a manticore, and a harpy attacked him. It is then he realized that he has displeased his deity, Pazuzu, Lord of Evil Flying Creatures. That is from, it's either Monster Manual 2 or Unearthed Arcana, I forget which. But Gaul had helped kill so many evil flying creatures, and the worst of it is he used those two captured harpies as the sacrifice for a divination spell. So now he's realized theirs of his ways and has to make it up. So finally, they're continuing south towards the necropolis, but they sight a domed structure. Well, let's go see what that is. And it's of mud, bricks, and stone, and inside is a sarcophagus with the lid askew, but there are several animated skeletons that are like melded into the stone of the walls. And they turn the skeletons and they fall to dust, leaving only the spaces in the walls where the skeletons used to be. And so Dinkus, the gnome thief illusionist, goes to investigate the sarcophagus, and it turns out to be a mimic who attacks and grabs him and pulls him inside, and he's been swallowed by a mimic. And so the party rushes to try to save him, and they're not doing so well. And finally, they manage to do quite a bit of damage, and he speaks the word to enlarge the ebony fly, which, when enlarged, becomes the size of a pony. And so the mimic explodes all over the rest of the party, and they search, and finding no secret doors, they decide there's no treasure. They did not say they were looking in the spaces the skeletons once occupied, so I thought that was pretty funny. It's always funny as a DM to know what's where, and the players don't ask questions. So Dinkus decided to fly towards the necropolis as far as he could before he had to turn back, since the fly will stay enlarged up to 12 hours. So he gets close enough at night to see lights moving around in the necropolis before heading back to the ships. After he gets back, he has the first watch, and three giant sand squids attack the ships, one on each ship, and the squids each grab a crew member or two and leave, and the party and the ship's crew easily defeat them, but not quickly enough to save the crew taken, because they're crushed once they're grabbed. And since they encountered a giant squid in a water-filled cavern at the back of the lion den, they decide to track back to the lair. And the lair was a rocky depression with three caves that were obviously the lairs of those individuals. And there were juvenile sand squids hiding about the place. And those caused more trouble for the party than the giant sand squids, mostly because the party was split up and the sand squids just caused more havoc that way. Dinkus the gnome got dragged under the sand and they almost didn't save him in time. But after the first three sand squids caused him trouble, they got smart about it and were able to take care of the final two juvenile sand squids with much less difficulty. So they recover what treasure they found there, and then they decide to overnight at this lair, and a final giant sand squid attacked one of the ships, but the ballista hit it, and the crew managed to hit with enough missile weapons to drop it. So the next day, they resume their journey south towards the necropolis and come upon a patrol of the Horde riding on Qualls. And they don't know it yet, but these are actually members of the Chosen, which are berserkers. And it's a force of 30 led by a cleric. And so this is what is going to happen on Sunday, resolving this fight. And I just think it's amazing how random encounters and random events make the players think so much more of what goes on during a session is planned, and that there's more connection to everything than there really is. And while there may be some connections, more of it is a coincidental connection than a conspiratorial connection. So it's just funny to hear what they're talking about. Hopefully next session there'll be an event that will convince them they were wise to abandon their quest to go back to the volcano, because they kept talking about this over several sessions. We got to go back to the volcano. Something's going on there. We got to go check that out. That's all tied together. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next session. It should be hopefully a good podcast episode. So I talked rather fast there to get through all this because there was a lot to cover. I hit all the high points. That kind of gives you an idea of what's happened over the last seven sessions. So I thank you all very much for listening. I've got a huge number of new listeners, and I encourage you to listen to the back catalog. And as always, game on. Knows how to wield a sword, spells arcane and divine, up on a shield to a wolf, and if you have the time, he's got a mean sales pitch, he even makes it rhyme. And if you need a job, this is his go-to line. Some people wanna die poor, I can't imagine why. They say once you fuck the bomb, there's nothing left to buy. But if you wanna die rich, go coins up on both eyes. Then raise up your longsword, follow me and of your long sword, follow me and die.
Follow Me and Die is an old-school RPG podcast. I share my experiences and ideas about role-playing games that all started with the Holmes Blue Box Basic Dungeons & Dragons over 40 years ago. I've played lots of role-playing games that were new in the late 70s through the mid-80s, and some of those I still like to play, especially Dungeons & Dragons. But there's more than older role-playing games out there. I share ideas that will fit into any game or genre. So check out my podcast. I'm always looking for a few good minions.
Better do what Grubba says.